Literature Out Loud, A Happy Ending by Anton Chekhov. Lyubov Grigorievna, a substantial buxom lady of 40 who undertook matchmaking and many other matters of which it is usual to speak only in whispers, had come to see Stichkin, the head guard, on a day when he was off duty. Stichkin, somewhat embarrassed but, as always, grave, practical, and severe, was walking up and down the room, smoking a cigar, and saying, "Very pleased to make your acquaintance. Semyon Ivanovich recommended you on the ground that you may be able to assist me in a delicate and very important matter affecting the happiness of my life. I have, Lyubov Grigorievna, reached the age of 52. That is a period of life at which very many have already grown up children. My position is a secure one. Though my fortune is not large, yet I am in a position to support a beloved being and children at my side. I may tell you between ourselves that, apart from my salary, I also have money in the bank, which my manner of living has enabled me to save. I am a practical and sober man, and lead a sensible and consistent life, so that I may hold myself up as an example to many. But one thing I lack, a domestic hearth of my own and a partner in life. And I live like a wandering Magyar, moving from place to place without any satisfaction. I have no one with whom to take counsel, and when I am ill, no one to give me water and so on. Apart from that, Lyubov Grigorievna, a married man has always more weight in society than a bachelor. I am a man of the educated class with money, but if you look at me from a point of view, what am I? A man with no kith and kin, no better than some Polish priest. And therefore I should be very desirous to be united in the bonds of hymen, that is, to enter into matrimony with some worthy person." "An excellent thing," said the matchmaker with a sigh. "I am a solitary man, and in this town I know no one. Where can I go, and to whom can I apply, since all the people here are strangers to me? That is why Semyon Ivanovich advised me to address myself to a person who is a specialist in this line and makes the arrangement of the happiness of others her profession. And therefore I most earnestly beg you, Lyubov Grigorievna, to assist me in ordering my future. You know all of the marriageable young ladies in the town, and it is easy for you to accommodate me." "I can—" "A glass of wine, I beg you." With an habitual gesture, the matchmaker raised her glass to her mouth and tossed it off without winking. "I can," she repeated. "And what sort of bride would you like, Nikolay Nikolaitch?"
"Should I like? The bride fate sends me."
"Well, of course it depends on your fate, but everyone has his own taste, you know. One likes dark ladies, the other prefers fair ones."
"You see, Lyubov Grigorievna," said Stichkin, sighing sedately, "I am a practical man and a man of character, but for me, beauty and external appearance generally take a secondary place, for, as you know yourself, beauty is neither bowl nor platter, and a pretty wife involves a great deal of anxiety. The way I look at it is, what matters most in a woman is not what is external, but what lies within. That is, that she should have soul and all the qualities. A glass of wine, I beg. Of course, it would be very agreeable that one's wife should be rather plump, but for mutual happiness it is not of great consequence. What matters is the mind. Properly speaking, a woman does not need mind either, for if she has brains, she will have too high an opinion of herself and take all sorts of ideas into her head. One cannot do without education nowadays, of course, but education is of different kinds. It would be pleasing for one's wife to know French and German, and to speak various languages, very pleasing. But what's the use of that if she can't sew on one's buttons, perhaps? I am a man of the educated class. I am just as much at home, I may say, with Prince Canatillon as I am with you here now, but my habits are simple, and I want a girl who is not too much a fine lady. Above all, she must have respect for me and feel that I have made her happiness."
"To be sure."
"Well, now, as regards the essential, I do not want a wealthy bride. I would never condescend to anything so low as to marry for money. I desire not to be kept by my wife, but to keep her, and that she may be sensible of it. But I do not want a poor girl, either. I am a man of means, and am marrying not from mercenary motives, but from love. Yet I cannot take a poor girl, for as you know yourself, prices have gone up so, and there will be children. One might find one with a dowry, said the matchmaker. A glass of wine, I beg. There was a pause of 5 minutes. The matchmaker heaved a sigh, took a sidelong glance at the guard, and asked, Well now, my good sir, do you want anything in the bachelor line? I have some fine bargains. One is a French girl and one is a Greek. Well worth the money. The guard thought a moment and said, No, I thank you. In view of your favorable disposition, allow me to inquire how much you ask for your exertions in regard to a bride. Oh, I don't ask much. Give me 25 rubles and the stuff for a dress, as is usual, and I will say thank you. But for the dowry, that is a different account. Stitchkin folded his arms over his chest and fell to pondering in silence. After some thought, he heaved a sigh and said, That's dear. Oh, it's not at all dear, Nikolai Nikolaevich. In old days, when there were lots of weddings, one did do it cheaper, but nowadays, what are our earnings? If you make 50 rubles in a month that is not a fast, you may be thankful. It's not on weddings we make our money, my good sir. Stitchkin looked at the matchmaker in amazement and shrugged his shoulders. Do you call 50 rubles little? He asked. Of course it is little. In old days we sometimes made more than 100. I should never have thought it was possible to earn such a sum by these jobs. 50 rubles! It is not every man that earns as much. Pray, drink your wine. The matchmaker drained her glass without winking. Stitchkin looked her over from head to foot in silence, then said, 50 rubles? Why, that is 600 rubles a year. Oh, please, take some more. Which, such dividends, you know, Lubyov Grigoryevna, you would have no difficulty in making a match for yourself. For myself, laughed the matchmaker. I am an old woman. Oh, not at all. You have such a figure, and your face is plump and fair, and all the rest of it. The matchmaker was embarrassed. Stitchkin was also embarrassed and sat down beside her. You are still very attractive, said he. If you met with a practical, steady, careful husband, with his salary and your earnings, you might even attract him very much, and you'd get on very well together. Goodness knows what you are saying, Nikolai Nikolaevich. Well, I meant no harm. A silence followed. Stitchkin began loudly blowing his nose, while the matchmaker turned crimson and, looking bashfully at him, asked, And how much do you get, Nikolai Nikolaevich?
I? 75 rubles, besides tips. Apart from that, we make something out of candles and hares.
Oh, you go hunting, then?
No, no, passengers who travel without tickets are called hares with us. Another minute passed in silence.
Stitchkin got up and walked about the room in excitement. I don't want a young wife, said he. I'm a middle-aged man, and I want someone who, as it might be like you, staid and settled, and a figure something like yours.
Oh, goodness knows what you are saying, giggled the matchmaker, hiding her crimson face in her kerchief.
Oh, there's no need to be long thinking about it. You are after my own heart, and you suit me in your qualities. I am a practical, sober man, and if you like me, what could be better? Allow me to make you a proposal.
The matchmaker dropped a tear, laughed, and in token of her consent, clinked glasses with Stitchkin.
Well, said the happy railway guard, now allow me to explain to you the behavior and manner of life I desire from you. I am a strict, respectable, practical man. I take a gentlemanly view of everything. And I desire that my wife should be strict also, and should understand that to her, I am a benefactor and the foremost person in the world.
He sat down, and heaving a deep sigh, began expanding to his bride-elect his views on domestic life and a wife's duties.